In previous episode, we talked about top 4 books out of 10 books list that has inspired and influenced Ankur's decision making and thought patterns. In this episode, we continue with our journey and discover how the remaining 6 books affected his thought process and how they shaped him to be an individual that he is today. Let's begin right away. The 5th book we have is Bulls, Bears and Other Beasts. So a lot of animals there, and typically stock market has this fascination of comparing movements with the...
Actually, unfortunately, we do not have a lot of books which talks about the history of the Indian stock market. Maybe because it's not a very old market unlike the US. From the US context, you will find a lot of books which will give you a background. But then there are very few books about the Indian stock market with its own history, with its own problems, and how people who are the biggest of the investors now, how they saw the market initially, experienced the market initially. And also intriguing part about this book is the storytelling. The author has named this guy called Lal Chand Gupta, and through his eyes, he's talking about the story that how he, from a very lower middle class family, first starts working with a stockbroker, then eventually takes his own license, how he is able to avoid a lot of mistakes, a lot of leverage, how he's somehow able to avoid a lot of bad companies. And just by avoiding those silly, small mistakes, he was able to navigate and still was fairly successful in the stock market. And you don't need any great degree to be successful in this. And through his eyes, he's told this whole story that how unorganized the markets were way back, how the regulator had absolutely no powers over what was happening over the market. And slowly, how the whole game has changed now. I mean, what we see now is a very, very evolved market. But at that point of time, it was nothing. And very easy to read, beautifully written. And I think even if you are remotely interested about the stock market, we should
be. I think one very, very important thing and very beautiful thing about investing is that it does not require you to have very fancy degrees to start. All you need is a bit of financial education and you can just get started right away on your wealth creation journey.
Yeah, I think that is the case with a lot of things, that if you're waiting for something and then you want to start, you're kind of just trying to delay the process. Only after I complete 5 years of experience, then I'll start up my own company. Only after I have 10 years of experience, I'll go and do an executive MBA. Or whatever it might be, for whatever reason. If somebody has the will to just implement, doesn't have to wait. And now, thanks to technology, thanks to so much resources around you, things have become much more easy to, you know, achieve as compared to what it used to be.
I remember reading somewhere that if you wait for all the lights to turn green, you'll never leave your home. Something on
those. Absolutely.
So the next book we have is book number 6, that is Shoe Dog. Interesting title.
So Shoe Dog, I think, is again recommended by a lot of startup founders. It's a book written by the founder of Nike. Nike is still a very, very aspirational brand when it comes to wearing shoes or sports equipment. It's a very simple story, you know, how this founder who suddenly had this likelihood or affiliation towards shoes, and how through doing simple things, to collaboration with sports people, to, you know, doing those simple things, made this brand what it is today. And the beauty of the book is only the last chapter in this book is the beginning of a major success. But how he started, how he made those little efforts, and how he failed also multiple times, the book is mostly about that. And that is what is being told in a very, you know, beautiful way. Massive respect to the founder that to be able to pull off something like this at such a grand scale.
Interesting. So another one of success stories talking about the difficult road. So we all talk about how shiny and how bright it is after you have achieved the success or after you have arrived, as they call it. But yeah, the journey towards that is not an easy one.
So whenever something becomes successful, people see, "Arey, you know, ye kahan se aa gaya suddenly."
Right.
That person might be putting consistent efforts for the last 20 years, 30 years, has finally led to that. So yes, I think it's the nature of the market and you have to accept it. I think it's better not to be in the limelight while you are trying to build something, because that might distract you. I'm not saying it will. And then maybe once you have achieved that scale, maybe it's good to know that, you know, you're finally arrived.
So work hard in silence and let your success make the noise.
Yeah.
Seventh book which we have is No Filter.
So No Filter is about the story of Instagram. So today, every influencer, every business is on Instagram because it has the ability to influence brand endorsements in such a huge way. But very little is talked or known about how Instagram was built. And I think maybe very few people know that who is the Instagram founder. It's a guy called Kevin Systrom and Mike Krieger, who are basically the co-founders of Instagram. And what you will really appreciate in this book is today you see this Instagram as this whole fancy tool for people to post things, but it is the founder's passion towards aesthetics which led to become what Instagram is today. Right. Of course, you will see a lot of ads. So putting a lot of ads in Instagram was actually not a part of founder's initial idea. His idea was just to make a community where people can share and, you know, become kind of influencers. But unfortunately, the company had to quit after they sold it to Facebook. But yes, you have to give it to Facebook also, because they were able to scale this Instagram to a level where now it is actually Facebook's highest, you know, revenue creator.
Wow.
So you will see actually Facebook's revenue now majority come from Instagram, not that much from even Facebook Inc. itself. So that has been the influence of
Instagram.
And I think the storytelling by the author Sarah Pryor is amazing. I actually enjoyed that book.
So any major takeaway from this book that stayed with you?
I think you have to stick to the idea of what you're trying to make. People don't like Insta because it has a lot of ads. People like Insta because you are able to share your experiences wherever you are in the world just by photographs, just by some little caption. And that was the whole imagination of the founder, where he stayed true to his vision. And he was given full independence even after Facebook acquired for some point of time, before Facebook decided that, okay, let's now go full hog with the ad and let's start monetizing it. So I think staying true to what you're trying to achieve is something what really pulled me into this book.
Eighth book for today is 48 Laws of Power, a very powerful title. What has been your experience with the book?
It's a very powerful book. The author Robert Greene has actually gone into the concept called why powerful people become powerful. Whether you like it or not, in order to achieve great things in life, you have to deal with people. And human beings are one of the most unpredictable species around. So to get your work done or to have an influence over people, what are the things which have been already proven, which nobody wants to talk about? Our upbringing will say that, okay, do your hard work, fruits will come. But then your upbringing will never say how to deal with people who are so unpredictable. Like the first law of the book says that never try to outshine your master. Nobody talks about it, but it is a very proven concept with a lot of history, with a lot of data this author provides. And like this, there are 48 laws. And you, after reading even the summary of these laws, you will realize that I wish somebody could have recommended this book to me 5 years back, 10 years back in school or college. Because when somebody is trying to explain you, let's say your father or your mother, you don't value it. It's a free advice. But if it's validated by a very popular book, you will feel like, boss, this makes a lot of sense. It's a very thick book. But I think even if you read the summary, you will understand what this author is trying to say.
The ninth book which we have is Steve Jobs' biography. Steve Jobs is, I think, a very controversial person when it comes to leadership style. So a lot of people really love him and a lot of people really dislike him. So where do you stand?
Absolutely, you're bang on. When you think about Steve Jobs, you think about this genius who's created the products which we love. But when you read this autobiography, you understand so many problems this person had gone through. not only in his personal life but also in his professional life. He was asked to go from the company he himself founded, came back somehow after what 13, 14 years, and then turned the fortunes of the company completely, left the world at the age of 56. But we also have to realize, despite those shortcomings, despite the problem in the leadership style, he was able to achieve what he wanted to achieve. And that is the lesson. We cry about, ye nahi hai, wo nahi hai, ye kam hai, ye zyada hai. But this is the story of a man. He did not come with a family of a lot of means.
Right.
He was not Bill Gates. So he had to figure out his own journey. And I think despite all the problems, he was able to create what he created. Yes, he was born in California, so that is a huge advantage. But besides that, how he took on a lot of people and did what he did. And you also have to realize there are two gifts which Steve Jobs has given to the world. It's not only Apple products, but also Pixar. When Steve Jobs was asked to leave from the Apple, he then got involved in Pixar and he turned around Pixar. If I ask a lot of people what is your favorite animation movie, chances are very high it will not be a Disney movie, but a Pixar movie. His focus on aesthetics, his focus on the art clearly reflects on what Pixar has become today. Obviously, he sold it to Disney because told the Disney CEO that I am not keeping well, I have cancer. He agreed to do that. But you will still see that there is a difference between a Pixar movie and a Disney movie. I think it's a great book to read. It's a thick book, relatively. But if you have the patience, don't watch a two-hour movie on Netflix on Steve Jobs. Read deeply about what went behind the minds of this guy.
Wonderful. Quite inspirational as well. And I think the Pixar bit is what really inspires me also to add this to my list and definitely get back to it.
Yes.
Last book on today's journey is The Company of One. Quite an yes. interesting title.
It's not a book a lot of people talk about, but randomly I came across this concept and I started reading about it. The author makes the point that, you know, the world somewhere gravitates towards these large organizations, that I want to work with a large organization. I want to create a large organization. But he's making a point that you can be relevant even by staying small. Because, he's given a lot of examples where companies have deliberately decided to stay small because they, in the pursuit of a grand scale, maybe they had certain experiences where the cost goes up, the efficiency goes down. So his idea is to, instead of getting bigger, how can I get better? And by being better, you know, I can stay small, I can maybe take a larger share of the pie, and I can still have a very fulfilling life. He's focused on the work part also and the life part also. And I think that is what a lot of mistake is done by our own generation also. Just to get a social validation, we want to work only with a known brand or a very big brand. Nobody wants to work with a small brand. While the small brand can give you fulfillment, can pay you equally well. Now let's take an example of Zerodha. Everybody's talking about these 100 crore salaries and all, and suddenly everybody wants to be associated with Zerodha.
Right.
But when Zerodha was not Zerodha, and the people who got associated with Zerodha then, they are the ones who will reap the maximum benefit of it. Not
That's
the right. ones who join after 4 or 5 years. Trying to make a case that you don't have to have a very large company or you don't have to work with a very large company to have a fulfilling life. So that kind of challenged my thought process also. I worked with small organizations also, large organizations also, and I was able to relate to it, what he's trying to say.
Makes a lot of sense. Even I
yeah.
have had experiences where smaller organizations at times are a lot more accommodating because obviously the number of stakeholders, the number of people making the decision are much lower. So you don't have to go around convincing a large lobby of people before you make any small change. So I
yes.
think in those factors, yes, it is very, very important to experiment both the ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And every organization will have its pluses and minuses. And I think you have to adapt accordingly.
Wow, that was really insightful. We discussed 10 books today in a single day. Now, before we conclude this episode, any words of advice to our listeners today?
So I think people's affiliation to read short things. People would like to read a tweet or people would like to read a very small post. But it's important to have a greater, deeper understanding about things. And that can happen only when you adapt to a long-form reading. I'm not talking about long WhatsApp, but what I'm trying to say is books. And those books will actually give you a much deeper understanding about the thing. Also, it will try to enhance your focus. Say if I'm on a Twitter, I also love Twitter, but I'm saying if my reading is only dependent on Twitter, I jump from one topic to the other topic very quickly. So I can get distracted also very quickly. But when you have a book in your hand, which is on one topic, and it will provide such great insight about, and you can be completely transformed into that world. So my advice to the people would, and why I personally took up reading as a hobby was because I had this certain drive that whenever I'm meeting people, whether it's somebody from my team or whether it's a potential client or whether it's a potential stakeholder, you have to read. You have to be very, very updated about what's happening in the industry, what's happening in the economy. And these books will actually enable you to have great conversation because in your industry, you're trying to talk to H&I, you're trying to talk to very established people, and those people have, by their own experience, have a lot of insight. But when you're young, who will give you that insight? No one else but these books. Your boss will have a very limited time. Your super boss will have a very limited time. He will probably be interested in your results. But something which you should work upon as your own self-enhancing tool. And I think books are very, very cost-effective entertainment. I think this is something more and more people should take up. And I think you will see the difference where people will really like to connect with you because you have built that intellectual capability over a period. So I think that is one advice what I would give.
So one thing I really liked about how you presented this idea or concept is that books act as a very good replacement for the experience which we don't have yet. When you don't have your own experience, this is basically borrowing from somebody else's experience, learning from what they did right or what they did wrong. And the best part is you can sit comfortably within the confines of your home and learn about things happening 10,000 miles away.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So as somebody who has been fortunate enough to have developed a reading habit like since early school days, this was one of the best topics to discuss over a weekend. So really, really glad to have you here today, Ankur. Thank you so much for taking out your time. And
No, it was a pleasure and hopefully to have such sessions many more times in the future.
Looking forward to it. Definitely. Guys, here we had a nice session on 10 very important books with Ankur Mahajan. Please try these books. If nothing else, start with Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I think that will be the beginning of the journey, like it was for me, like it was for Ankur. Let's hope that it begins your journey into reading and into managing your money better as well.
Disclaimers and disclosures. This content is for education and entertainment purpose only. Sanchay Jain or Finance Ke Funde are not a SEBI registered investment advisor. The information is being presented without consideration of the investment objectives, risk tolerance, or financial circumstances of any specific investor and might not be suitable for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of the future results. All investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal. The views expressed are personal and do not reflect the views of any organization we may be directly or indirectly associated with. Thank you.